Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's time for the crossover. Getting zipper Steinmetz with Guru, Willard, Diz. What's up, fellas? How
What's
we doing?
What's up, baby? Hey.
Oh, great. Never better. Never better.
Yeah,
Mom.
You sure?
Okay, how much longer for Yaman?
As long as I want.
Is that what
as
you
long
think?
As I want.
I didn't get
honorary Jamaican, 2 months.
Eat some Yaman. 48 hours and you're annoyed already?
First of all, you've been back longer than that.
Not in front of you. It's been less.
It's been not about
24 and a hook.
It's not about being annoyed. I just want to know how long.
I don't know.
Okay.
Until the spirit moves me to stop.
Until his visa expires.
I love the Jaman culture. Yeah, man.
See, you guys don't even know. We just lightweight had a therapy session because I'm feeling some type of way about my mortality. I got a couple of compliments.
Immortality.
Risotto. I sent him a picture.
Is that why you've been sending pictures of your younger self out to people?
No, it was one I found on my mom and myself.
And you look beautiful. So did she.
Yeah. And anyway, my daughter turned 20, so I'm like, I'm an old hag. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I hear Div say, when you text somebody and they don't respond, and that hit me, you don't even know.
Right.
That bothers me, Willard.
I
got to do is respond.
I'm pretty sure that I went on a pretty good Friday What's Bugging You rant about people who don't respond
the
to texts.
The older I get, the more it bothers me.
I just don't understand it.
So you look at it, Daryl, no, I just won't respond.
I mean, sometimes a bunch come in at once, and if you read it and don't respond right away, then it can get lost. I understand it, but you all know this because you all have these people in your life who do it all the time.
All the time.
I don't understand you. Like, I just want to go to those people and be like, who do you think you are?
It's a respect thing.
Right.
I'm an awful communicator, though. But as long as you
respond, though.
Sometimes. But okay. But you can't let other people know that you respond to them, but not others. Like, that's the biggest issue is that, okay, yes, he didn't text me back, but he texted you back?
Right, I just put Steiny on blast because we both checked
in. I wasn't going to say his name, but...
No, because we both checked in on him today, and apparently I got a response and Dibs didn't. No, but maybe he's
now
asleep.
Now we got problems.
He's sick. Maybe he fell asleep. When did you send yours?
Takes two naps a day.
Now, Willard, why did you disclose that?
Because that's how I do it.
Now we got problems.
I'm 50 and I'm married. I don't care anymore.
And he's Jamaican.
You know, like, it's just all on the table, and if you don't like it,
speaking of you being married, the only text that I haven't responded to currently is from your wife.
I know who this is from.
Yeah,
I know she texted you.
Your wife.
Yeah, I know she did. She was like, I got a text at about 6 this morning. I'm texting Dibs today.
Yeah.
I said,
And her text was like 700 words. And I read it and I was like, I need to internalize properly respond. And, you know, she and I have a great relationship.
But you will. You will.
And I will.
Of course you will.
Now, do you have red notifications on?
I'm Android, so there's no such thing.
You're that
that's
guy.
Right. Green guy.
Does anyone else have trouble not, like, somehow those things turn on by accident?
Yeah.
And if you have someone in your life and their read receipts are on, don't tell them.
It makes it dumb.
I know, you'll get in a fight so fast because if you know they read it and then you don't get it. Woo.
So he was napping when you text him, and when Willard texted him, he was up.
12:04.
That's how you fix
I text him at 11:34, and I got something back at 11:39.
Yikes.
And then he fell asleep.
How you feeling?
Yeah.
Okay. It's fine. It's neither here nor there, but the beauty of having a marriage of iPhone and Android is that there's no paradigm of find my phone or location services. Because I don't have that, and she can't, even if she has that, she can't locate my Android. So if I'm not, you know, point A to point B to point C, she as an iPhone user, that's going to be on you. You're going to have to call me, honey.
You can't airdrop photos to each other.
Nope.
And you got a little kid running around the house. That's a problem.
I mean, do I need to airdrop photos? She can actually send me photos. The problem is when she sends me videos, they're grainy. And when I send her videos, they're grainy.
I can't. You're that guy.
That's a problem. But
you get an iPhone.
No, there's a benefit here.
There's a great benefit. And you know what? When I get home and she pulls out her phone, and it's like, look at Mila on the scooter. It's like, wow, yeah, you sent me that. And it was grainy. But now that I see it, when you and I are actually together... I can see that.
Wow.
I think that we all become too slave to our devices and all the rest of the technology.
True. That's true, but I don't know.
And so
know
for me, like I don't need her to like have location ability on where I am.
Okay, that's the win. If someone knows where you are, sometimes you're in places you're not supposed to be.
Christy
and the text you hate is, all right, yep, I'm on my way. No, you're not even close.
Do y'all do that? I know you're not married, Adam. Yeah. Do y'all do that with spouses? I don't know where Christy is.
And I don't want to know. Yeah, like oh, my God. I couldn't live that way.
I know where my kids are.
Yeah, there would be no cafeteria.
By the way, they get mad at me. We have that app. I think it's called Life 360 or whatever.
Wife does that with the kids.
I do that with the kids.
That's good stuff.
I'm the only parent they got. So, like, Life 360, but they get mad at me because I turn mine off. I'm like, you all don't get to know where I am.
And
they're like, why not? I'm like, because I'm dad.
Papa's a Rolling Stone.
I will be wherever the hell I want to be.
We didn't know where Norm was at. Boy,
wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Yeah, exactly.
And when he died, all he left us was alone.
That is great.
Yeah.
We got to get to last night.
Oh, boy.
When is enough enough?
Roblo. Thank you.
I wanted to know. They were like the Pirates. That was great. That was really good. But come on, it's getting ridiculous now. And I don't want to play the blame game. You can't lose to the Pirates and you're supposed to try to make a run. Yeah. After getting swept. Mm-hmm. And Keller made you not want to trade for him. He was awful. That was the worst.
80 pitches and it was like the second inning. I'm like, oh,
he don't want to come to the Bay. What he's doing.
They turned the pitch clock off last
night.
Yeah,
my elbow is hurting watching
this.
What is going on?
I'll just shut up. What's happening? Come on, give it to me. Raw and uncut.
Eddie Murphy.
That's how I give too.
I don't.
It's actually a three. Came out before he was born.
You know what for? Damn it.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I thought they were. I don't know if they know. I thought they were better. I also know that. So what? How many innings did the Carsons go last night?
Five.
No. The Carsons.
Combined?
Oh yeah,
like seven.
Six. Seymour.
Yeah. I mean, put rookies out there for seven innings. You get what you get.
Yeah.
You get what you
get.
But
they ate up innings.
Actually, eight.
Yeah. Eight innings. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I didn't think he looked awful. I didn't think he looked great.
And he would tell you, my dibs, I heard you yesterday, and I swore I said it, his performance didn't merit him to get the ball. That's not shade. It was by default. They're hemorrhaging with the rotation.
Well,
and he ate five innings. So I looked at it from that vantage point, Will.
I'd say be careful on that because I know that what you're doing, and we all do it, we're on the internet looking at their minor league numbers.
4.44.
That's numbers. It's only one level up from doing spring training stats or training camp stats. I don't know what the hell they're working on down there. Mm. I don't know what the scenario is. I don't know if the shortstop that's behind him has a brick glove. Is Marco Luciano playing defense for these guys? I don't know what's going on. I don't think they look at call-ups based on numbers. I think they look at call-ups based on who this kid is. And he's been their top pitching prospect for a little while now. I'm going to give him more than one start. I don't think he embarrassed himself last night.
I'm not saying anything different.
Among qualified starters in the PCL, I think that he was number one in ERA.
And PCL, that's hitter's paradise.
Oh, man, look where they are.
Hitter's paradise. It's 100 degrees everywhere they go. So, I don't know. I'm not going to overreact to that, but
the larger team.
I don't know.
I think that he was called up more for necessity as opposed to we want to start his major league clock and we want to figure out if this guy's a dude. Because otherwise, if Hayden Birdsong hadn't fallen off the wagon.
No, he wouldn't be up.
We wouldn't see him. Right. You know, and he has fallen out of the top 100 list. I mean, Wisenhunt is a guy that we've talked about for a long time, but Bob Melvin said it the other night. He's like, and it kind of slipped past my mind. He's like, well, yeah, we've been promised him a while. In fact, we thought we'd almost get him last year.
Yeah.
It's like, in a way, I think that's kind of a shot from the manager that I don't really know what we're getting. We're getting a guy. We hope he can give us five innings, but it's not like someone on social media I saw was posting first starts of former great Giants. Like Tim Lincecum then gave up five earned runs in his first start.
He did. Yep.
However, he blew through the minor leagues in less than a year. And I think he only gave up a few runs over nearly 50 innings of minor league work. Those two are not the same. So I understand. I'm not willing to, you know, write him off after one start either. No, I thought he finished strong, but I was not that impressed by the number one pitching prospect in their system. If that's your representative, I do think, and it's more of a reflection of Farhan than like anybody, but I think he got some issues.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot down there. There's not a lot down there that's exciting. But I'd also say I get like one look at Wisenhunt, and it you don't see the things that what you want to see. But I don't think that means he's ineffective. Yeah. Like you want him to come up and throw 98, but that's not what he does. And very few left-handers do.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, by the way. Why is it harder to find a power arm that's left-handed?
Randy Johnson. Yep.
Just because there's fewer of them?
Less lefties.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's not the way this guy pitches. And,
change up.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of left-handers that are really good and are kind of crafty. You know, we had the farm director.
I heard that.
We had him on yesterday, and basically,
who was his comp wheel?
He said, if you squint really hard,
you could
hope that he would have a future like Cole Hamels or Johan Santana.
I heard it.
But what did Santana top out at? What was his fastball?
He threw mid-90s at his, when he was a Cy Young award winner. That guy's also had a change up from hell. But when I hear that. And I know that's his job, and he's trying to tell
he's
us like
stylistic.
Who can kind of.
He's talking about style.
I hear Kuminga could be Kawhi, like that's really what I hear when I hear Wisenhunt could be a Hall of Famer. Mm. You know,
right. That's what we do, though. That's the process. You label each of these guys coming up; they could be X, and then
because I did the same with Harrison. Right.
Most of them aren't, and then once in a while, someone is. But like I don't know. That's a pretty high bar too. If you're like if he's not Johan Santana, we're disappointed. I think Carson Wisenhunt will be a major league pitcher for a long time. Will he be a great one? I mean, he said that too. Kyle Haynes yesterday was like, this is like, I know for sure that he's probably at least someone's number four starter. But I mean, that's a big bar. How many starting pitchers are there on opening day?
Yeah. No,
you know, everybody gets five. So what is that? Less than 200 of these
it's
on the 150. Planet. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why I asked him about need versus merit, and he was, you know, kind of gave the answer of a little bit of both because, you know, the merit is he was number one in the PCL in ERA among starters who qualified, even though he's in the mid threes or the low fours, rather, he still was among the leaders, and yet the need is great right now because Roop is gone and Harrison's gone and Hicks is gone. You got a bullpen game, and, you know, you can't pitch Birdsong again this year, I don't think. Yeah. And so the need was there, but also the merit. And that's why you went Carson to Carson, and they kept you in the game. And honestly, for me, it's less about the two Carsons than it is about the offense.
I was just
looking, I think that they were 0-5, 0-for-5, rather, with runners not only in scoring position, but with the bases loaded.
Mm.
With the bases loaded, like, that's where a bases-clearing double, a grand slam, a base hit, that's where you break open a game that is in the balance with a rookie starter.
And
that's where you win that game 11-5.
Now, I'm giving you guys love, and Evan, you too, but you guys are great at asking questions. You do it with Kerr, but I'm being real right now, and I'm not blaming Melvin. I think he's some of it. But if you had him on, what would be your first question to him about what's happening with this team and why they can't do what Dibs just talked? Yesterday I told you pressure. I drove home. I'm like, I don't know if I like that answer.
Before you answer, let me just say, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco.
Without any time to kind of think about it, the first thing that came to mind is I'd like to ask him, how do you feel right now about the collective confidence of your team?
Man.
I'd like to hear him assess what's actually going on mentally behind the scenes with the baseball team. Like that's what I'd like to know. I mean, if you could get an honest answer out of it, because that's what we were talking about yesterday.
It's gotta be, it has to be.
Yeah. And I say that even after a night where they were better last night, better at
five runs,
better at bats with runners in scoring position.
I think the issue he probably has right now is he already played the motivation card last week, right? Like, there's only so many times, and at least I believe he said something after the first Atlanta defeat, the one he called embarrassing and a bad luck. But how many times can you play that card to really try and dig your team out of it? I know people want emotion and want fire, but I do think he did it privately, which to me is an appropriate place to do. But right, a week later, if you're still stuck, like, I don't know how you motivate this team right now.
I mean, you have to motivate individuals.
Is that Posey's job at the deadline to try and do? Or at least to direct one way or another of which way they're going?
And this is interesting, and they actually did have one hit with the bases loaded, Adames, who has... You know, suddenly found his
I'm
game.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It was
a floater, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, fine.
They'll take him.
Yeah. I thought maybe Williams could have, waved the runner around third. It was, shallow and soft, but that's neither here nor there. Their issues are bigger than that.
He's had some trouble doing that this year.
And I wonder about you, Evan, as a former baseball player, a guy who actually played at the next level. Shout out Guru in a company softball game who homered. And, me.
He's got pop dibs.
My only home run was an inside the park home run, which was dubious, might have been a misplay out there. I was running my butt off, but like the whole idea of motivating a baseball player, for me it feels different than other sports where you can't just go out there and light somebody up and you're gonna hit them hard and we're gonna hit them late, we're gonna hit them early. When you're a baseball player, it's the individual reality of you're in the batter's box and you have to actually be able to get a hit. I don't know how you can get motivated by a manager to do that.
Well, and also motivation, I would think, especially this time of year, comes from how many Giants right now in the lineup are 100% sure that they've got their gig for the rest of the year?
Three.
Adames, Chapman, Devers.
Yeah.
Ramos.
Ramos.
Bailey.
Go ahead.
Lee.
Although some of them are do you know what I mean? I know that they love the defense on Bailey. Sure, that's true.
Man.
Ramos, you wanted to bench him for a day yesterday,
to send a message.
Two hits.
My point is that there are finances that go into that. There's marketing that goes into that. There's veteran stature that goes into that. But I would think a lot of the guys that we're looking at right now would be motivated by the fact that, for instance, the Giants are out there shopping for power-hitting outfielders. Oh, really? Yaz, Matos, Jung-Hoo Lee, and Ramos.
Yeah.
That doesn't motivate you? That doesn't motivate you? Nah. They are shopping to try to replace some of you right now on the phone.
Yeah, I agree. The motivation comes from losing your job. I mean, it's at this point, it's not from, I'm not playing well and I want to do better. It's and actually the trade deadline, I don't know if you guys had this when you were broadcasting in the minors, but trade deadline day is always kind of it's an iffy day. Because if your team is a buyer, that means someone might be going out.
Oh, man.
And that means there's spots available.
Change.
And throughout the minor league system, if you're a seller, that means guys are coming in to take your jobs.
Right.
So everybody from the top to the bottom level is looking at what we're going to do. And that's why I do think it is a little bit on Posey right now to make the choice for them. Because if you do nothing, and maybe there's not a deal out there, but if you do nothing, then to Willard's point, the guys that aren't motivated by a potential loss of position or playing time, they're going to keep going about their business the exact same way.
And then my thing to that is, how do we get the Allen Iverson? How do we get the answers as to why collectively a majority of our offensive output guys are deer in headlights? That's somebody's job to get to the answer, because how can you be – you get Devers delivered to you and you go the other way? I'm not – I know you guys think, Guru, just say what you want to say. I can hear Stoney. You blaming Melvin? No. I just – when are we going to get to the answer of what ails us? They're not – they're better than one game over. June 11th, they were 12 over.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get, all kind of woo-woo on it. You don't ever get to the answer. It's sports. If I ask
sports,
you right
man.
Now, why were the Niners 6-11 last year? You get 8 different answers.
No doubt.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get a bunch of different answers, right? So I don't know that there is an answer or that we ever get it. We get to form our opinion on what it is. I can tell you what's striking me today, which is that you look around and this whole Bryce Harper, Rob Manfred thing.
Yeah, they talked about it this morning.
You look around right now at baseball and the Giants this year, what scares me is that now over the last 3 weeks, you know who they look like? Themselves. For the last 4 years, You look like yourselves. And what? So
but
what's
you wrote happened, some checks.
You are a spender. And spenders in baseball, you make the playoffs.
And
because, so who are the Giants beating right now? You're literally only beating the people who aren't trying to win.
The Rockies, that's Pirates, it. I got, that's man. It.
So you are in the standings right now, and you can be like, oh, well, we're in eighth. We want to be in sixth. We're in eighth. That's not that bad. No, eighth is terrible because ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th, they don't care.
Man.
They're not even trying to beat you. And some of the teams that aren't even trying are ahead of you.
I asked Evan real quick, if you were Buster, he's got to be disappointed to umpteenth degree. Do you sign off on that, or do you feel
of
like...
Of course.
Oh, he said it was go time, Dibs.
Right.
And I delivered you something.
Well, and this is where I think that with baseball, you have to look at it in a different way, because he can say it's go time, and Bob Melvin can be motivated about this and that, but ultimately it comes down to the individuals, and you've got Rafi Devers in 35 games. His OPS is 722. Yeah. But Willie Adames, over the past 40 or so games, his OPS is almost 1,000. He's got 10 home runs. So a lot of it is, you know, Devers not yet comfortable, and Adames is finally comfortable. And the rest of your team, if you want to look at, you know, Mike Yastrzemski, who we all love, he's a fourth outfielder. And Elliot Ramos has hit a little bit of a wall, and, you know, all the way around the diamond. Yeah. Chapman's been Chapman. But beyond that, like, your catcher can't hit. Your center fielder is brand new in Major League
Another
Baseball.
Another ball dropped last
so
night.
So maybe we overrated these guys. And then your rotation that you've all leaned on, now you've got a rookie, a youngster who's hurt, a 42-year-old, and your ace, man, who is, you know, he's not an overpowering ace.
He's tired
he's
a little
really
bit.
Good. Yeah, so that's all.
I was driving last night in the eighth inning. Can you guys tell me the Devers fly out to Triples Alley? Like, how far out in Triples Alley? My phone went crazy with our thread.
Okay, right.
Randy and Lucas were like, we thought it was gone.
It was a 0 for 30.
I text you. What did I text?
It was a 0 for 30.
It was a 0 for 30.
Okay.
It went 365. It was 93 off the bat. Okay. It sounded good.
Okay. And if, like, you looked at I text Evan, I thought it was gone.
He kind of looked at it like, I don't think I got all of it.
But looking at it, Evan, it looked like he crushed it. I said, there it is.
Lucas wants me to explain, or Evan, you can explain what a 0 for 30 is.
That means that it would have gone out in zero ballparks in Major League Baseball.
I'm looking at the StatCast numbers, and I know you love a StatCast, but the distance was 365. Right center,
okay,
which is not a home run, 97 miles an hour, which is
not a home run.
It's not.
It's a good.
The launch angle was 35 degrees.
Expected batting average? Do you have that?
I can pull that up on StatCast.
I think it was 180.
180?
I think it was 180.
Look at you, mister. I hate StatCast with the info.
Well, because I'm like, when he was looking at it, I thought that he felt as if he just got under it. Like, he just missed it.
And I thought he hit it to the yoon. I thought that thing. And it's that, like Lucas said, the visual looked like he crushed it.
It's because it was off of Devers' back.
And they needed it, too.
Yeah. Everybody's waiting for that signature moment from him.
And the fact that it's, the eighth inning in San Francisco on an unseasonably cold July night.
Dude.
Like, it's not like you're talking about late September when summer begins. So all the factors against it. And, you know, the launch angle at 35 degrees, that's a nice fly out.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, here's why I ask. I ask because what I don't know that Devers or Brandon Belt or anybody else who's ever been a left-handed, somewhat power hitter in San Francisco, you can have your opening press conference all you want and say, I am so happy to be here.
Which he did.
And I have no, like, problem whatsoever. I'm powerful enough to hit it here, there, and everywhere. That's all true. I wonder if at some point, though, that alley gets in your head.
I think it has to.
I wonder if it gets in your head.
He hit a one-handed home run in Hotlanta. Remember that one?
Oh, God. He was completely off balance.
I think at 4:30 when they take batting practice, he probably makes it look like a Little League park.
No big deal.
But then you get to 8 p.m., 9 p.m., the fog rolls in. It starts getting cold out there. You're late. You're up against a guy who's got devastating breaking stuff.
Man.
And you're like, crap, I can't pull on this.
Oh, that's got to be demoralizing.
I wonder if it gets in their heads.
And I hate to correct you, Evan, because I'm a huge fan.
Oh, was it two?
I'm a
Yankee
huge
Stadium
fan.
And George Steinbrenner Field.
All right, okay. That's
two for 30.
So lots of Yankees.
He got Oracle parked again.
I mean, dang it.
That thing's out of here. They're in two parks.
Are they cooked? Yeah.
It was 180.
Yeah, you think they're cooked? You're so soft.
Cooked? Yeah, is this season cooked?
No.
Is it? Are they cooked?
No, but the stove is on.
The stove is on. Yeah.
And you're preheating the oven. It's not cooked. And, you know, until you actually throw that thing in the frying pan, it's not cooked. But the way things are trending, it's not great because you're pitching, which has been your number one strength all year. It's not what it was. And, you know, you've got some of your offense, which is struggling.
Playoff odds? Have you looked them up?
No, give them to me.
What do you think they are? Have you looked them up, Evan?
No, I have not.
Gibbs, have you looked them up?
No.
Okay, everybody fire a guess at me.
I got to believe.
As of today.
23.
I'm going 14.
14.
I'm going to borrow from Evan and say 30 for 30. 30%.
Okay. You guys are all in the neighborhood. It's basically the same as the chances of Patrick Bailey getting a hit when he comes to the plate.
No.
Right now it's 19.8.
Man. Well, he's at 209. That was mean-spirited.
Okay, but he's
that was out of bounds.
Yeah, he's 209 as of four
he's
days
been
ago.
240 over the last week.
He could have gone to Kisner, who's closer to hitting a buck 80.
It's Brett Wisely with RISP. I don't know. You get the idea.
Debo Samuel, number 19.
Look at
it's
19 problem.
It's better than a Kisner base hit chance.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, 19.8%. As of right now.
I got you. Yeah. All right, well.
We'll be listening.
Yes, we will. Cooking coming up, 2 to 6. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.